I know if you paid attention, did anybody, last Wednesday I said I'm going to preach from here, this place. Anybody know what I said? Ephesians. Well, I'm sorry and I apologize because we will probably get to Ephesians pretty soon. But Galatians was from God. Ephesians from God too. But Galatians to me, to you, was from God. And I just thought it was going to be a good idea to go to Ephesians. And God said, no. Not yet, or no, or who knows. But I did like to study through Galatians, and I would love to go through Ephesians. And I studied Friday night, Saturday night, Monday night, Tuesday. And all of a sudden God says, I don't know why you keep beating your head against that, because I'm not going to give you the green light until you get lined up with what I want. And this goes back to about Friday, Saturday. I was putting the message in for Sunday, this last Sunday, doing some other stuff. Then God spoke to me directly about the church. So I don't know, as a preacher, as a minister, as somebody who preaches the Word of God, sometimes we, and I'm confessing this to you, it's Wednesday night. Hopefully you don't, you know, I don't, it really matter. You preach stuff, and sometimes you'll preach, that's a good message. God's given it to me, and He's given it to me again, but it's not personalized. It's a message with a lot of great points in it, and it could help somebody. You know God wants you to preach it, but sometimes you wonder if we're preaching messages just to make points, just where people leave here and go, man, that was pretty good. Amen? And what I really would like to do is preach messages with great points that speak to you directly. That when you walk out of here, that you're better than when you came in. I was going to ask y'all tonight, and I was going to be all crafty about it, and say, what do you think preaching is? What do you think preaching is? And I was going to be all kind of suspect, so don't answer out loud. And then I was, I know there's some of y'all right now rolling around your mind. I don't know what preaching, you know. But I started thinking about it, and this is what preaching is. But he that prophesieth, or he that preaches, speaketh unto men and women, children, to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Spiritually fed, spiritually exalted, or sent, or elicited to do something, encouraged, that word's encouraged, either encouraged to do something right, or encouraged to do something, you're going to be blessed biblically by word, the Word of God, or by what God says in His Word. Does that make sense? And the last one's comforted. Amen? It's got to be personal. Amen? It's got to be when it hits you, you should be like, that's going on in my life, and I needed it. Amen? What I don't want you to go is, man, that's good. That was good, or that was bad. Somebody, what was good about it? What was bad about it? I don't know, just good or just bad. Know what you heard. Does that make sense? Know what you hear. That way you can apply it. The title of this message is, Go Out Better Than You Come In. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. Y'all see that? Is that what y'all are seeing? Mark chapter 10, verse 17. He just had children in his lap. He just had, they were bringing him children. At first, the disciples thought it were weird. They're like, hey, forbid that. And he's like, no, don't forget, forbid them coming, right? Because that's what the kingdom of heaven's like. And I started thinking about Sunday's message. When we were giving away that fruit, were y'all here for that? It's pretty exciting, wasn't it? We had kid races in here. We had kids jumping over each other. I've never preached a message like that before, but I'm going to do it again. But you know what I noticed? Every time I was going to give away fruit, there wasn't one adult that raised their hand, and there wasn't one adult that ran up here. Did you notice that? Not one adult said, man, I'd like to have a refreshment during this service. It's pretty dry. I'll race somebody up there to get me one of them grapes or tangerines or bananas or apples, right? But them kids, they didn't care. Okay, I'll take a free apple right now. That looks pretty good. And I'll race my neighbor for it, right? It's amazing that God said that's the way the kingdom of heaven is, because that's exactly the way He is. We're supposed to come to Jesus like children. What does that mean? When God's got something good handing out to you, you're supposed to run for it. You're supposed to raise your hand and say, I want that. But too many times as adults, we're so cool. And I don't mean that in a cool way. I mean, we're just going to stay calm in these services. And we're just going to be, we've got it all figured out. No wonder nobody wants what we got because we don't want what God has. Too many times we come to the house of God and we don't know why we don't go out of here any better. It's because when God offers you something good, you say, that'll be embarrassing if I go after it like I really want to go after it. I really want to go up there and rip his arm off for that. I want that. I want that. Does anybody want that joy? Anybody want that peace? Anybody want that? Anybody want? Yes! I'm on the verge at home of going insane. Divorce, children having a problem, finances, everything were piling up. And God's given me some peace in here, but I don't want to look like a wreck and go up there and get it. So guess what? We'll sit here the whole service, and then we'll go out to eat with each other and say, man, that was a good word. That was real good. But we ain't done nothing with it. Yet there's somebody at the table with a sitting there eating a tangerine or a bag of grapes. You're like, what'd you do? Man, it looked good. I got it. Amen? Wouldn't it be good to eat some spiritual fruit? Be sitting at the table with somebody. Hey, I went to church. I was miserable. Yeah, guess what? I don't care if we eat here or not. I'm good. Amen? God's given me some stuff. Amen? Right in the midst of this guy, a full-on adult. Check this out. A full-on adult sees Jesus and comes running. That's got to be weird. This kind of contradicted what it was, but came running to Jesus. Man, the entry is amazing. Every time I read this scripture, the entry is good. And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Man, you don't get no better than that. If some dude came in here during the altar call or whatever, and all of a sudden started running up through here and jumped on his knees and slid and said, oh, God, what do I got to do? Amen? We'd all be like, whoa, that's impressive. Amen? And I'll bet you there was some apostles and disciples who were looking and going, this guy, he's made a good entry. It looks good. And I'm afraid in our services, a lot of times, we make good entries. Don't we? We make good entries and we make in our minds, God, I'm preaching. Hey, God, here I am. What do you want, man? I'm ready. There's many times I know there's people come to this church on a regular basis and they come in and they're ready. They're ready to do business with God. God's tugging on them. God's pulling on them. And it's a seasonal thing. Some seasons they don't. Some seasons they do. But sometimes they get so desperate and they'll come into the house of God and they'll say, all right, God, I'm ready. Just tell me what to do. They make a good entry. Running, sliding, and confessing and asking. Well, I can't get no better than that. God just looks at them. You notice everybody else is, you know, like, wow, but Jesus ain't. Because God's looking at the heart. He's always knowing more about the situation than I can or you can. Jesus knows the heart of the matter. And while he's making an entry, God's saying, I don't really care how you come. I wish you'd write that down. Some of y'all need to write that down. God says, I don't really care how you come. That's why we do church the way we do it. I don't care how you show up. I care about what happens while you're here and when you leave. Because anybody can show up. Anybody can dress up. Anybody can look the part. Everybody, man, it's like a roller coaster ride. As long as you're this tall and you can get on, you can ride. Oh, God, y'all get that when you get home. Verse 18, and Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Jesus is so awesome. I mean, he's cool. He's cooler than the other side of the pillow. That was a really good point. Y'all didn't do anything for it. I love saying that. But y'all know, you ever been sleeping in that hot, and you turn over and you're like, man, it's like a whole different world. You're like, wow. Jesus looks at him. And he ain't mad at him. He ain't hurt. He wants him there. God wants everybody to come. That's his will to all be saved. He wants everybody. But he looks at him and he said, let's establish some stuff. Let's establish some things. And I want them to come out of your mouth, not my mouth. I'm not gonna wear you out. Why are you calling me good? He asked that first. Why are you calling? Hey, God asks questions that really penetrate your soul, don't he? God asks you questions. You're like, man, well, he just read my mail. It reminds me of the woman at the well. I ain't going to preach that whole message right now, but he says, where's your husband? Well, thanks. You wrecked me. You know what I'm saying? Right? Adam, where art thou? Huh? Where are you? Takes a minute. Where are you at? Over here hiding. I sewed these fig leaves. Man, you got to be a good seamstress to sew some fig leaves. I'm sorry. Golly, that's a whole nother message, right? And when Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. And he's asking him, he said, why are you calling me good? Are you calling me God? You got to establish, if you're talking to Jesus, you're talking to God. And if you're talking to God, listen, guys, I want you to get this. If you're talking to God, be prepared to get God answers. See, sometimes I go to God, and I'm saying, hey, God, I'm really not wanting God to engage in the conversation. I want him to get on my plan. I want him to do it my way. I'm going to prayer for him to go, Kevin, you're right. Let's get him. Right? That's not what God does. God's God. He's like, let's establish this. If you're talking to me, then we're talking, me and you. But guess what? When I give an answer, be prepared. I love it when everybody says, I just want to hear from God. Do you really? Because when I get in that book, God says hard stuff. In my personal life, when God really speaks to me, it's usually something that I don't want to do at first. It's like, did we just get a mixed signal? God, I could have swore you asked me to do this, and I'm not really ready to do that. Being honest, I don't really want to do that, and I think you're wrong. Oh, God, I wish y'all could. Will y'all just say amen every once in a while? Not, you don't have to amen, but just every once in a while look at me and go, yeah, I know what you mean. Because don't we go to God a lot of times in our prayers, and we're expecting the outcome that we really want? And then when he really gives us an answer, y'all ready? Look at verse 19 with me. I'm doing more preaching than I'm reading, and I come in here with a mindset. I didn't feel good Sunday. I thought, man, I'm going to come in here, I'm really going to teach Wednesday. I'm just going to be one of them level-headed teacher preachers. I don't have that in me, man. One of these days, right? I try to get it in there. Verse 19, y'all ready? Here comes God's answer. Let's look back. Let's go back to 18 real quick. I'm sorry. But go back to 18 with me. Look. Why callest thou me good? That's red letters. There is none good but one. That is God. He's still talking, okay? Y'all ready? Verse 19. This is still Jesus. Thou knowest the commandments. God goes to the commandments. And God will go to the commandments on you too. The law is dead. But the law is dead because when you accept Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The law is dead when you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the law is still active on you. You understand that? So God takes you to the law to bring you to a place of repentance. So he takes the young man to the law. He says, I am God. Let's go to Mount Sinai. That's better preaching than y'all are letting on. Let's go to Mount Sinai before we go to what? To Jerusalem, right? To Golgotha, right? Before we go there, let's go to Sinai, because you can't go there until you go to Sinai. Is that correct? Hey, man, you're a good preacher. Do not commit adultery. Why in the world is he talking to this man about things he ain't dealing with? I think because when we'll go back and look at it, we'll deal with us. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Are you committing adultery? Think about it. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Are you killing anybody? If you're a killer, man, that's... hope you're not killing anybody. God says in the New Testament is when you receive the Holy Spirit, if you're angry at somebody for no good reason, you're killing them. Do not steal. Are you a thief? Are you stealing from people or are you stealing from God? Do you give tithes and offerings? Think about that. If you're not giving tithes and offerings, you're stealing from God. If you're stealing from people, you're in trouble there too. Do not bear false witness. Don't be a liar. Defraud not. Be fair. Whew, golly, y'all want to have an altar call now? Be fair in your business dealings. Why? Because the minute you throw Christ or Christian or saint in the mix that I'm a believer, then you're not dealing fairly with people, or you try to cheat people or con people, then all of a sudden people are going to do this. God is unfair. Don't have an unfair weight or an unfair measure. Amen? That's pretty neat, ain't it? All this right here is a way for everybody to fall into this guy's shoes. And if somebody, you're sitting here going here right now, bam, preacher, you just brought us here to wear us out about our sin. I'm guilty of like three or four of those, so welcome to the party. Honor thy father and thy mother. I always look for this when I see honor thy father and thy mother. I always look for good in there. Amen? Where's good mother and good father? Nope. Just the ones that brought you here. And you say, well, how can I honor somebody as bad? Find something good about them. If you can't only do this, I'm here because I'm present. Amen? You can honor them. Amen? And most of the people in this room, I'll just dare to be honest with you right now, most of us have a good mother and good father if we really think about it. Amen? And if you got to 18, praise God, they did their job. You should be thankful. Amen? Whew. That right there brings me under conviction every time I read it. Because, see, what I want to do is I want to go to that rich young ruler. That's who we're talking about. I want to nail him, but I don't want to nail me. But God nails me before he nails him. Because he said, if you identify, because that's what happens when we come in quickly. God, when we come in good. Huh? We come in the house of God good. We slide in here. We, woo, hallelujah, praise God, sing the song that I really like. Let's just get it. Let's get down on that worship. But then all of a sudden, God says, yeah, but you're in love with something that I'm not in. You're identifying as something that I'm not a part of. Amen. Oh. Do you want to change? Or do you want to remain the same? Because sometimes we think that somehow God is in the mix. God is not in the mix. He's the engine to your life. He is not a something that you add to your life. If he's not pulling your life, if he's not the engine of your life, he is nothing to your life. If he is not Lord, then guess what? You are. And God will wreck you. Because he'll say, give up relationships, give up jobs, give up things that you identify and go with me. Give up things that you identify and go with me. You said, some of y'all sit here right then and said, jobs, he would never ask you to give up your job. Have y'all ever read about these 12 apostles? Give up your business and follow me. Because you can fall in love with a job and identify as a job more than you can me. Relationships. I couldn't walk away from my relationship. This is an important relationship. Is an important relationship. Get God first, then get the relationship. If you'll get God in front of your relationships, when the relationship comes to you, my God, it will make so much sense whether they belong in your life or out of your life. Oh, let me preach it like you know what I'm talking about. Hey, let's go to church. Hey, let's go to club. Oh, I don't know if I got the right crowd. Hey, let's go to church Bible study. Let's go to Tuesday night Bible study. Let's go to the honky tonk. VFW. Who? I don't know. Ring a bell. I don't know if I'm even close. Tractor pull. I don't have a clue. Let's go do something else. Other than serve God, it'll look so opposite of what you're trying to do. It won't make sense. God's calling me in the ministry. God's calling me to travel around the world. Forget God. Think about it. It'll be so simple because you're like, man, we're pulling in the wrong direction. I started thinking, Billy Graham and his wife, do you know what? He prayed. He said, God, give me somebody who loves God as much as me. His wife walked by. You know how he knew that he was the one or she was the one? Her Bible fell in front of him. Oh, God. And when it busted the ground, he looked at it, and it was more jacked up than his Bible. He's like, golly, she's got notes in there that I ain't got. She's more hooked up with God than I am. And when he asked her out, he's like, I want to go out with you. She goes, I'm looking for somebody who's going to serve God. My parents are missionaries to China. I want to reach the world. I don't know if you can handle that, Billy Graham. I don't know if you got that or not. Now, you understand what I'm saying? Don't come to God in this house on a Wednesday, Sunday, or Sunday night and say, I'm ready to do business with you, God, because God will call you out on your stuff and say, get rid of that and you can do business with me, or keep doing that, and guess what? Eventually, you're going to be upset. You don't believe me? Let's just look into it. Man, I'm preaching harder than I wanted to tonight. Verse 20, and he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Man, what an answer. I think we'd have probably made him a deacon or a councilman or associate pastor. Wouldn't he? Wouldn't y'all just say, man, that's pretty good on that run up there? I don't know, man, you're doing better than I am. Hoss? I like to throw that Hoss part in a while. I watched the Bonanza before I came. I love Hoss. Verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding, loved him. Now look at this. Golly. Man, I love when I read, I love the scriptures, don't you? Jesus did not, he looked dead at him. I believe sometimes when God really, when you feel the presence of God, he looks right through you, don't he? I mean, he ain't looking, you know, God's got that way, right? I mean, he's looking at him and he beholds him, and listen, he beholds him and he what? Loved him. Don't get a weird sense of what love is. Because love is encouragement, love is comfort, but sometimes love is exhortation. Love sometimes will tell you something you didn't want to hear to make you better. Amen? It's not always that way. So some of you that are kind of mean-spirited and you like to share, I'm just giving truth. Yeah, well, sometimes you got to, you always wearing somebody out. That's what I'm talking about. Jesus beheld him and loved him, told him, but sometimes you do have to tell somebody some hard truths. But if they know you love them, they can handle it. I don't always worry about how people react right away when they get a hard truth. I like to see it marinate. Because I know how I am when I get a hard truth. I kind of blow up sometimes, right? Better shut your mouth, right? But once I start to think about it, I'm like, wait a minute, they're right. Okay, y'all good? Watch this. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, listen to this. One thing thou lackest. Man, come on, Jesus. What do you want, perfection? I mean, you got one thing. How many times do we do that to God? I ain't too bad. Here we always go to that, well, I ain't no killer. Well, I ain't no murderer. There's worse people out there than me. Yeah, I know that, but that ain't what God's wanting. If you're wanting to know what it's going to take for him, he wanted to know, God, what do I have to do to inherit? What do I have to do to get in heaven? What do I have to do to be closer to you? What do I have to do? What, God, what do you want? Have you ever asked God, what do you want? God, what do you want? And God said, all right, I'll tell you exactly what I want. You got one thing that you love more than me. Whew. You got one thing that you identify before you identify with me. You love it more than you love me. You identify that as yourself more than you want me, right? And let me tell you something. You need to right now in this place, in this service right now, this service, Lord help you if it's this situation, find out if you got one of those. And if you got one of those, you need to change the positions quickly. You got to change the position. And I know it's scary. I know it's hard. But you know what? That's what stops you from really getting free in Christ Jesus. Is saying, I don't know if I can change that situation. Because I like that more. I identify with that more. And God, you keep trying to move that thing. God ain't always trying. He ain't trying to move it to kill you. He's trying to move it to make you better. And he might not be trying to take it away from you. He's probably trying to make it better. Oh, God, I wish it feel like, y'all feel that? Man, I hope y'all get this, because, man, this is big stuff. It's what God's been talking to me about for the last 2 weeks. One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give it to the poor. He gave him a blueprint, line-by-line instruction. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. He came. What do you want? God said, all right, here it is. Go get rid of this. One thing, your wealth. Go give it to the poor. You'll have treasure in heaven. God, you hear what he just said? He didn't even listen to what he said. And sometimes you're not listening to what he says. All you hear is this God, God, God. Now listen. He said, make an exchange. Man, I wish there's some people in here. No, there's some financial stuff that makes sense, right? What God says, let's make a good investment. Trade your temporary for eternal. Put the treasure in a place that you never lose it. That stuff you got right now is going to end. Go give it away. Go find the poorest people you can and give it away and come and take up your cross and follow me. That's what I want. There's the blueprint. Write it down, follow it, do it, and your life will be amazing. He couldn't even imagine it. And if we're not careful, we'll come so close to really, really busting out and serving God. But the minute we get there and he wants to take away that one thing that you're holding on to, that you know. Listen, I used to speak vaguely and say, well, this, that. No. Since I was 8 years old, I knew what God wanted from me. I knew what he wanted to take away, and I know what he wanted to replace it with. He goes, I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a man of God. I just want to be a player. I hope y'all didn't like the way I said that, but that's exactly the truth. I wanted to love people in all the wrong ways. God said, I got to change that. I want to kill that. I want to put something there better. And I was like, it was scary. I don't even know who I will be if I'm saved. I don't know who I can be if I'm new in Christ. Can I look over and see how I'll have a good time in you? No. Come to me. I'll make it right. And golly, he does. But this is the craziest place in the whole Bible. Craziest place in the whole Bible. Because look what happens. Verse 22. And he was sad at the saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. My God, that was over 2,000 years ago. If that guy, I don't think he changed. Did you notice how Jesus responded to him? He let him go. You think Jesus could have used his wealth in ministry? But he let him go. He let him walk away. You know that man's probably been dead for 2,000 or 3,000 years if this is not a parable? But I believe it's not a parable. I believe it's absolute true. He didn't say, I was talking about a man. He said, a man came. So that man's been an eternity, over 2,000 years. And I guarantee you, he's looking up in a place of torment in his spirit. And he's saying, I made the worst investment in my life. I was sitting right in front of God, and I could have gave up who I was for eternity with Jesus. But when he called me on it, I kept a hold of my old identity and who I was instead of relinquishing and letting Jesus be the Lord of my life. I walked away from my saving moment. Guys, I've been on this end of the desk for a long time. And I see people come to church a lot of times. And they're so close. They get so close to really doing what God wants them to do. Man, God comes to them and asks them to give that thing that they're afraid to give away. Some part of their life, some sin, some identity thing that they are afraid that God can't do it better than they're doing it. Or they just can't see it. And they walk away time after time after time. And they wonder why. Why is God not expanding? Why is God not doing? Because you got him in. You're just trying to add him to your life instead of letting him pull your life. Don't get so close to God. Judas said, come on, Scott, come get us on. And y'all stand. They said, Judas came into the garden. And y'all have heard me preach this a ton of times. Judas came in the garden. He walked up to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and said, Judas, betrayest thou me with a kiss? Because he told him, he said, when we get in the garden, I'm going to kiss the one who's the Messiah. And that'll be the sign. I wonder who in the world came up with that? And then I started thinking, man, probably somebody who attended church a lot. Did you get it? Somebody who attended church a lot. Judas was casting out devils, healing the sick, walking with a 12. He had the best preacher there's ever been. Some people say, if you can't get no better leadership than Jesus, and Judas still turned his back. But you know what? I bet he thought this was something that Jesus would kind of enjoy. If I betrayed him with a kiss, it's kind of spiritual, and it's really a lot like me. And he kissed the door to heaven, and that's the closest he ever got to it. Said Jesus prayed as if he had great drops of blood coming down his face. I wonder sometimes if there were traces of blood in his sweat. And I wonder sometimes if Judas got some traces of DNA on his lips, but he never got it on his heart. Your lips are near me, but your heart is far from me. You say you want me. You say you need me. You say, God, what do you want me to do? But every time I tell you what I want, you get mad and hit the trail. And you stay on the trail for a while, and you get desperate, and you come back, and it ain't amazing that Jesus looks and beholds you and loves you again and tells you, I still want you. I still need you. I can still use you. But you still got to get rid of that before I can. That's the word tonight. And that's not for somebody out there. That's not for somebody who didn't show up here. That's for you, and that's for you tonight.